Hebrews chapter 12, and when you find that, turn back a couple pages to 2 Timothy chapter 4. But I'm going to read first in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and then hold your spot there on 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in minds." And then turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse 7. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul's about to be martyred and put to death. In verse 7 he says, "I have fought a fight. I have finished my course. The faith." We're all running a race. Life is a race. A race. Paul compares it there as a race. But there in 2 Timothy, Paul says, "He's fought a fight. He's finished my course." That's the thing. So it's going to look here at us, how to finish my course. How to finish my course. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the Lord, we do love you. And again, I come to you now, and I just pray, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you use me to give me your words. I pray, Lord, you give me clarity of thought and just direction here as we look at your truths from your word here tonight. And Lord, we'll just give you all the glory and honor that's done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it was advertised that the devil was going to put up his tools for sale. On the date of the sale, the tools were placed for all the public to inspect, each being marked with its sale price. While there were lots of options, there was hatred, there was envy, there was jealousy, there was doubt, there was lying, there was pride, and the list goes on and on. But laid apart from all the rest of the pile was this harmless looking tool. It was well worn and priced very high. "The name of the tool?" asked one of the purchasers. "Oh," said the adversary, "that's discouragement." "Why have you priced it so high?" he asked. "Well, because it's more useful to me than all the others. You see, I can pry open and get inside a person's heart with that one. When I cannot get near him with any other tool, that one will always work. You see, when I get inside, then I can make him do what I choose. I can make him do what I want him to do. And you see, it's a badly worn tool, because I use it on almost every single person. And very few people know that it belongs to me." You see, the devil's price for discouragement was so high that he never sold it. Never. And it's still a major tool that he uses against God's people today. You see, discouragement is something we all live with. It's something we all battle with. We deal with it from time to time. And it's easy for us allow these pressures in our life, these burdens in our life, to overwhelm us and come at us. And if we're not watching, praying, if we're not remembering to pray, if we're not seeking the Lord constantly, if we're not getting our eyes on the Lord constantly, it's going to be easy for this to overcome us. He said there in my little illustration, the devil knows how to work it. He works it in everybody. You see, what I'm saying is that discouragement is a killer. Discouragement is a killer. It has caused many people to drop out of the church. It has caused them to quit on God. It has caused many preachers to quit the fight, to lay down their Bible, and to never finish the course. You see, some people in this very room right now are discouraged. You're discouraged in your life. You're discouraged in your walk with the Lord. And you are just thinking about throwing in the towel. You're thinking about quitting and throwing in the towel, and you're considering dropping out on the Lord. But before you do that, can I just remind you that God did not save you for you to live in discouragement? God did not bring you out of the pits of hell so that you could live in a state of discouragement and defeat and depression and fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Of a sound mind. You see, if any of us here today, we need to get back in the race. We need to get back in the race. There's a course that each one of us have to fulfill. There's a race we are in. There is a course that we are on, and the Lord has put us there, and He wants to finish the course. You see, the race, as Paul's talking about here, is for every born-again Christian. The sideline isn't the place for a Christian. The sideline isn't the place for a Christian. You with me? With me, all right? The race is for all born-again believers. You see, we are in a race, and if you are on the sideline today, either you've never gotten into the race, or else you've quit running the race. And that means that you're not in the Lord's will. That means you're not running the race that the Lord has placed you in. If that's you here today, hey, I pray that maybe you're here today and you've taken a break. You're not currently running your race. I pray that today maybe you'll get back in the race. Maybe you'll be encouraged to continue to run the race and finish out the race victory. So like with Paul, we can say, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. So today I'm just going to give you a few things we need to do in order to finish the course that the Lord has placed us in. Number one, we got to lay aside every weight and sin. We got to lay aside the weight and also the sin. Look at verse Hebrews 1 there. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," right there you go, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Right? We got to lay aside those weights. We got to lay aside that sin. That weight that we're talking about here speaks of anything that would hinder us in our Christian life. Anything that would come between us and the Lord. Anything that would hinder us from running a race. Right? Anything that doesn't draw us closer to God would hinder us. Anything that doesn't make us closer, draw us closer, is an excess weight in our life, and it slows us down. Now you might be thinking, I've got weights, I've got sins, but these weights that I'm talking about here, they may not be sinful actions per se. Okay, they may not be drinking alcohol or doing drugs or smoking cigarettes or having immoral behavior. That's not what I'm talking about here with the weights. They may not be sinful themselves. They may just be something that's holding you down, that's bogging you down. It could be something as easy as a hobby that you partake in. A hobby, a club that you participate in, computer games, social media, social activities, something that just takes up a great amount of your time, so wherefore your time is limited and you're not able to devote your time into winning the lost. You're not able to devote your time in reading your Bible more and studying your Bible more. And if something has got you to the point where you're engulfed in these activities and you don't have time set aside to pray anymore. Right? This is what we're talking about, weights. You see, these are things that can keep you from accomplishing your race. Keep you from finishing your course. Keep you from doing the will of God. You see, whatever it is that's hindering us, not closer to God, needs to be thrown off. We need to cast that off. We need to put that away, put it to the side, and follow Jesus. In 2019, I would have more than likely been promoted to the rank of E9, Chief Master Sergeant in the Air Force. I was in it 19 years at that point in time, and I knew at that point the Lord wanted me to do something for Him. I knew I was going to do something, but I didn't know what. And so we had been praying about that for a while. And I'll tell you, it was the last Friday in January in 2018 that I was sitting with my E9, my Chief Master Sergeant. It was Friday after work. Everybody's gone home. It's just the two of us. I'm sitting in there, and we're discussing everything that I need to do to make chief. And everything. We're laying up some ideas or some plans and everything. And the whole time we're talking, it was like the Holy Spirit just convicted my heart. And you're not going to do any of those things. And so I left there, and it was just, I just didn't feel the peace from all of those things we were talking about. And so we prayed that Friday and that Saturday and that Sunday. We went to church and talked with my pastor what was going on. And I said, I think the Lord's leading me to get out. I think the Lord's leading me to get out. And that Sunday night, I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. I said, all right, I'm getting out. And so Monday morning, I had to go back in to my chief and say, hey, everything we just talked about on Friday, there's been a change in plans. This is what I'm doing. This is what's going on. I'm going to go ahead and put my retirement papers in and retire. And I told him the whole story. He was just like, I can't argue with that. Right? I can't argue with it. But hey, I'm not saying the Air Force is bad. I'm saying that the Air Force would have been a weight for me to get to where the Lord wanted me to be. Had I stayed in, that meant a longer time in the military. I wouldn't have gone to the Bible college, and I probably wouldn't be here because of all those things. But see, I'm not saying that it's necessarily bad. There are a lot of things in our Christian life that we get involved with that would be considered okay. They're not sinful in of themselves, but they weigh us down. They weigh us down. They keep us out of the will of the Lord, and we just need to get those off of us. We need to get those off of us. And the Bible also says here that we also must strip off the sin which so easily besets us. Right? That sin, that word easily besets means that sin that cling to. That one that always gets you. That one that never fails, it'll get you, it'll distract you, it'll entangle you, it'll snare you up, it'll trip you up. It's that sin that so easily traps you, whatever that might be. Different from everybody else. It may be a pleasure, maybe an indulgence, maybe something that the tongue, the flesh, the pride, possessions, worldly friends, television shows, sports. Hey, whatever it is that consumes your energy and keeps you from following God. Could be a sin of gossip, bitterness, unforgiveness, pride. Hey, whatever name it is you put on it, that's what it is we're talking about. That sin that keeps you from moving forward in your Christian life. It is. But you know what? God doesn't leave us there. He gives us a great promise. He gives us a lot of promises in the Bible. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There you go. If that's you here today, all we have to do is confess that sin, forsake it, leave it at the cross, give it to Jesus. It's already been covered in the blood. He's already paid the penalty. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. We just need to get rid of the sin. Let us lay aside every weight and sin. All right? So as we run this race, there's some things we need to consider. There's a few things we need to consider when we're running our race. First off, we need to make sure we're in the right race. All right? We need to make sure we're in the right race. And you are in the right race when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Jesus says in John chapter 3, he's talking to Nicodemus, who is a religious man. He says, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, marvel not, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Right? You've got to be in the right race. You be in the race. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Are you in the right race? Are you running the right race? Also, we got to look at here. We got to make sure that we are properly preparing for the race. Properly preparing for the race. So just like running a real sprint or a real cross-country race, a Christian needs to prepare for the race of the Christian life. There are things we got to do to prepare for this race. And unfortunately, too many Christians think that all there is to preparation is to get saved. Get born again, get saved, trust Jesus as my Savior, and now I can just sit back and kick my feet up and just wait for heaven. Just wait and do nothing. But that's not why God saved you. It's to just sit here and do nothing. But too many Christians want to sit and wait for heaven. You see, salvation is only the beginning. Salvation only puts you in the race. Salvation qualifies you for the race. Just like the Olympics, right? They had to qualify to get to the Olympics. Right? Salvation qualifies us to run the Christian life. You see, here's the thing. That preparation comes from reading our Bible. That preparation comes from alone time with the Lord. Waking up first thing in the morning, reading our alone time in the Word, reading our Bible, praying, being faithful to God's house, being faithful to God's house. And did I say being faithful to God's house? I didn't say faithful to God's house. Let me say it again. Being God's words and honoring God with your life. Right? Those are all things that prepare us for this race. There is no other way to prepare for this race. And here's the thing, too. A great deal of these preparations, they come every week at church. The preparations come at church through the preaching, through the fellowshipping of the church. But do you attend every training session? We have training sessions Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. Do you train or do you attend every training session? Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hey, you say, I can worship at home. But can you exhort us? Can you exhort everybody? Can you exhort the brethren here? Right? You got to be here to be able to exhort, and you got to be here to be able to be exhorted too. So, hey, this is just part of the preparation. Another thing we need to consider is, we need to make sure we are running for the right purpose. We've got to make sure we're running for the right purpose. See, if you're running the race to please yourself or to glorify yourself, then you've already lost this race. You see, we're not here to glorify ourselves. We're not here to honor ourselves. And when you do that, you'll lose every time. We're running this race to honor the Lord, to bring glory to the Lord, to obey the Lord. Why? And He saved us from going to hell. You realize a saved person never has to experience the torments of hell. Never have to experience that. He saved us from that, from going to hell. And we just need to make sure we're running our race for the right purpose. In John 14:15, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. If you love Me, keep My commandments. So if I ask you, do you love the Lord? Well, we can base that on, do you keep His commandments? Well, which ones? All of them. You got to keep all of them. He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Keep My commandments. Luke 11:28 says, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. We got to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Doers of the word. Not just coming in, sitting, letting it go in one ear, out the other, or letting it sit in the back of your mind, and when you walk out the doors, we forget it. We got to be doers. We got to be taking that out. What we get here, we got to take it out. Acts 5:29. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." You see, there are those here today that God still wants to use. God wants to use everybody. If you still have breath in you, if you're still breathing, is everybody breathing? Right. God still wants to use. But before He can use any of us, we must lay aside that weight. We must lay aside those sins. Hey, it's time to take off the warm-up jacket. It's time to take off the warm-up jacket and get serious about running the race. You know, warm-up jacket's something you put on before the game, before the race. But when it comes time for the race, you strip that off, you take that off. You know, and one of the things, too, when I was in school, we ran track and cross-country, and a lot of the times we would wear those ankle weights. If you know what I'm talking about, you just strap a weight around your ankle and you'd run and warm up in those. And then when it was time for the race, you'd shed that weight off and you'd feel like you're walking on air, you know, running on air. Make it go. That's the idea here. Shed those weights, right? But here's the thing, too. There are many Christians that are trying to run the race, the Christian race, the Christian life, trying to live the Christian life with legs at the time. With shoulder weights on, with weights on, and it's weighing them down. You say, that's nonsense, preacher. Yeah, it is, isn't it? We need to shed those weights. That's foolishness. Shed those weights so we can run the race to the finish line. I want to say with Paul, I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course, right? Hey, let me give you another one here, number two. We need to run our race with patience. There in Hebrews 12:1, it says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, each one of us have a different race. We're in a different race. We have a different path the Lord has us on. And that word there in there, patience, means endurance. It means settling in for the long haul. Okay, whenever we would run cross country, everybody would be in the start line and you'd give an initial burst of energy to kind of set the pace so far, but then you'd set in. You'd set in your pace for the long haul, for the race. It carries the idea of the commitment to the race. Hey, I'm committed. Right? I got my pace. I'm set in. I'm committed to this race despite of the obstacles. Hey, I know there's going to be mountains to climb up here. I know there's going to be a big hill. I used to hate those hills all the way up. You know, hate those hills, but they're coming. Right? There's going to be obstacles in the way. There's going to be fiery darts of the devil. There's going to be difficulties. But hey, we're not running a sprint. We're running more of a marathon, a long distance. Right? And we're going to have to run it with patience. It's going to require patience. And you know what happens when we get impatient? Impatience brings discouragement. That's where discouragement comes from. Impatience brings defeat. When we get impatient, we get ahead of God. When we get ahead of God's will, that brings impatience, and that brings discouragement, and that brings defeat, and the devil's just going to have a time with us at that point. Romans 8:25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. Patience. Don't get ahead of the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Whatever it is, wait on the Lord. Kind of like when you start a workout program, right? I used to like lifting weights as well. You start a workout program, you go to the gym, you lift weights, and you go home and you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't look any bigger. Right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to get all this muscle, and you're not going to expect a big change on day one or two or seven. It's going to take a while. It's going to take some time, but over time, you'll notice changes come. And the same is true spiritually. The same is true spiritually. And any athlete knows that there's no trophies given out at halftime. There's no trophies given out halfway through the race. You got to finish the race, right? You got to finish. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But He said you got to diligently seek Him. There's something else I want you to notice about this race. The boundaries have already been defined. The boundaries are already marked. They're already put in play. Everybody in here has been born. We have a birth date. Everybody here has a day that we're going to take our last breath. We do not know that date, but God does. The boundaries have been set. The race is on. And you notice, unlike a gravestone, you got the year they're born, the year a person dies, in the middle, you got a dash, right? You got a dash? That's your life. That little dash, that's your race. That little dash is everything that you did. That little dash, right, when you take your last breath, are you what's the door on? That little dash. That little dash. Are you running the right race? That little dash. Everything about that little dash is our story. It's our race. And unfortunately, there might be somebody here today that's quit the race. You might be that one that's quit the race, and there was a time when you were full speed ahead. You were set in your pace, and you were running the race, and now you've just gone over to the sideline and sat down. No longer running the race. Well, let me just tell you, you need to get up. You need to get back into the race. You need to give it all you got until you finish the race, until the race is over. If you're still breathing, there's something for you to do. Moses was 80 years old when God called him. You understand that? 80 years old. None of us have any excuses. Moses was 80. We need to be in the race. You see, Gilead Baptist Church has been here 64 years. That's a blessing. But there's still more to be done. We need everybody here. We need those that aren't here to get back into the game, to get back into the race. We need you in the race. Every single person is vital to what Gilead Baptist Church can do. You make a difference. You can make a difference. Yes, you can. Just get back into the race. It's not going to be easy, though. The devil is going to trick you. The devil is going to play games with you. The devil is going to want to say, oh, you don't need to get in the race. Your mind's going to tell you you want to quit. That little cramp in your side, that cramp in your leg is going to say, ah, just go ahead and sit down. You've done a good job. No, get up. Get in the race. Don't quit the race. Keep running the race. I don't know about you, but I would rather crawl across the finish line and finish than to never finish at all. If I'm limping, if I can't walk, if I'm crawling, hey, whatever it takes to finish and get to the finish line. Are you with me? Is that you? To be able to say, I've never quit. I finished the course. I finished what the Lord gave me. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, know ye not they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may attain. Run so that you may attain. Run. Run. Get off of the sideline and run. Let me give you a third thing here I want you to look at. Is we need to be looking to Jesus. We're running our race, the race of life. We need to look to Jesus. There in verse 2, Hebrews 12:2, he tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, this old world is going to beat you down, going to get you down, going to get you discouraged. The devil wants to defeat you. The only way, I keep saying, is we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Sickness, pain, doesn't matter what we're going through, we got to keep our eyes up. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord, focused on the Lord. Remember, when Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he got out of the boat and he walked on the water. When he took his eyes off of the Lord, he sank. And that's the same with us. It's the same thing with us. We get a little fiery darts or something comes at us and we get disheveled and we take our first thing we do is we take our eyes off of the Lord. We got to stay focused on the Lord, to Jesus, because He is the author and finisher of our faith. During this race, we're not to look to others. We're not to look around at others. We're to look to Jesus Christ. We're to look to Him. Why? Because that's where our strength comes from. That's where our victory comes from. He's already finished the course. He's already ran the race. He already ran the race perfectly. The race of life He finished. He was sinless. He was righteous. He was all of those things and He obeyed God in everything. Never sinned. He obeyed God and finished the course that God had. You know what else you do whenever you look to Jesus? You don't look around and see everybody's faults. We don't look around and compare ourselves to everybody else and look at everybody's other faults and say, oh, they were this or they were that or I can do better than this and that. And, no, we don't compare ourselves to others. When we look to Jesus, we don't see the temptations to quit the race. Right? We look around and we want to see all these things. World and the devil highlights and spotlights things and wants to draw your attention to, and he's numbed a whole young generation of the world and everything. But you see, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you don't see those temptations. You don't see those temptations to want to quit the race. Because our eyes are on Jesus. And you know what else? When you focus on Jesus, you won't run in the wrong direction. But when was that? 2016, I think, in Illinois, at Scott Air Force Base, and I coached basketball. So they had a homeschool basketball league already set up, but they just had a varsity team. And so we came there, and I was able to get a junior varsity team going. And so we had Nolan was in seventh grade at that time, so we had 7th and 8th graders on our team. And, you know, they weren't basketball players, I'll just say this. So we had one game, and I remember the other team, we're going that way, and the other team threw the ball in. One of our guys stole it. And we were so excited, right? And he turns and he shoots it in their basket, and it goes in. Ah, the wrong basket. But hey, it was good. Hey, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're not going to run in the wrong direction. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, why Jesus? Why not Muhammad? Or why not Buddha? Why not something like that? Why Jesus? Well, he tells us here, he is the author of our faith. He's the author of our faith. Everything that we do begins with him. He is Alpha, Omega. He is the beginning of the end. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John in verse 14 tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's why. Because Jesus Christ is God. He is Redeemer. He is Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it was Jesus Christ. He is the author of our faith. He went to the cross literally in your place and in my place. He took all of our sins upon Him on His body. He purchased eternal life through His shed blood on that cross of Calvary for you and I. But notice here in verse 2 he says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Think about that for a second. For the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He's speaking of it was a joy for Him to go to the cross. It was a joy for Jesus Christ to take my sin on that cross of Calvary and die on that cross for me. He's saying it was a joy. It was a joy for Him to suffer for our sins. It was a joy for Him to suffer all of our sins upon His body. What should that say about you and I? If He was willing to do that joyfully, shouldn't we be saying, well, it's a joy to go soul winning. It's a joy to come to church. Hey, I got a little side ache, a little cramp in my leg, but it's a joy to come to church. Hey, it's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to be faithful. It's a joy to be a servant of the Lord. Why can't we just serve Him in joy? In joy. Hey, we are to be looking to Jesus because He is the author of our faith, but also because He is the finisher of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith. And that word finisher, it bears in mind a victory. Christ was victorious over sin. There in John 19:30, Jesus said there on the cross, it is finished. The last thing He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Right? It doesn't mean I quit. Right? It means it's finished. It meant God in heaven is satisfied. God was satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus poured out that day. He was satisfied. It is finished. He has kept the faith. He has finished the course. He didn't quit. Right? He came. He did what He was supposed to do. He died for you and me. And God accepted Jesus' death and shed blood as the perfect payment for our sin. Listen to this in Isaiah 53:11. Isaiah 53:11 says, He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. It's a powerful verse there. But what does it mean? Hey, it means so many things. It means I don't have to work for my salvation. It means He paid it all. He bared it. He bore it all on that cross. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, it means I don't have to work for my salvation. It means that I don't have to try to be good because my good works won't add up. I don't have to try and hope and still hope and hope and more hope. And at the end of the day, I still only have hope. Hey, salvation comes by pure faith. And that's what that means. It means that God would never accept me as I am, but He accepted the sacrifice that Jesus poured out on the cross of Calvary. Hey, it is finished. Lastly here, we need to consider Jesus. Verse number 3. Hebrews 12:3 says, For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. We just need to consider Jesus. Have you considered Jesus? Have you considered Him the forgiveness of sins? Have you considered Him for salvation? If you have you considered living for Him? Have you considered, if you're out of the race, have you considered getting back in the race and running for Him? Not running for a person or a man or a spouse or a church or anything, running for Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, focused on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Have you considered Jesus? Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And there is no peace in this life apart from Jesus Christ. There is no happiness. There is no joy. There is no comfort apart from Jesus Christ in this world. Hey, you can go to the doctor and they can prescribe you pill after pill after pill. And they can work on you and try this and try this. And you can go down that path and never find peace. But the moment you come to Jesus Christ, He'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He'll give you comfort. And He will just love you. Love you. Are you running the race? Hey, there's here maybe somebody here that's putting faith in being a church member, a good person, but those things aren't going to get you to heaven. You must come to Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Are you in the race today? As I conclude here today, are you in the race? Are you in the right race? Are you running the race? Let me ask you that. Are you running the race? Are you on the sidelines? Or are you in the race? Which one is it? This morning I asked you what side of the door are you on. So I guess today is, are you in the race? Are you in the race or are you on the sideline? If you're on the sideline, we need to get back into the race. If you're in the race, are you settled in for the long haul? Are you in the mode? You need to look unto Jesus as we run this race. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And like Paul said there, turn back over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And listen, not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Are you running the race? Let's pray.